The numbers told the story. They always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in this morning. We appreciate it. Glad you could hang with us. Gil Alexander, Brian Ortega in for Jeff Parlay this morning. Ortega waving. I don't have your screen on, so I can just look at you.
Oh, sorry. It's always a pleasure, Gil.
Always a pleasure to have you. Whenever Brian's here, we like to take advantage of the fact that he takes in TV shows, multiple motion pictures, so we'll get some reviews on two new movies that you've seen a little later on the show. Also, Todd Wishnev will join us to talk about his baseball betting. He's had another solid baseball season. Betting some pre-flop, betting in-game as well. Get his thoughts on the weight loss challenge that he's involved in with Steve Fezzik. Also, his thoughts on preseason football. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke to talk Major League Baseball. Paul Carr's Premier League picks of the weekend. Week number two after... here's what happened. So he goes 64-50 last year on the show with Premier League picks. And then he starts out this year with a loss. People on Twitter crush him for the loss. Great start, Paul. And then he ends up hitting two more. So off to a 2-1 start. And of course, no one said a word. Let's bookmark that. I have something to say about that coming up here momentarily. Vinny Maliulo joins us as well. Did you watch the field? By the way, we'll get to a tennis here momentarily. I have a tennis pick and U.S. Open tennis thoughts as well. Did you watch the Field of Dreams game yesterday? You said you did.
I did, yes. I really enjoy everything that has to do with before the game starts. But this year's game, not as good as last year's game, but still
it's the scenery, the visuals.
100%. If they don't do it every year, then MLB is messing something up.
Cubs beat the Reds 4-2. You said they might not do it next year, though. Why?
Yeah, so I read that. So Frank Thomas is part of an ownership group that owns the film site and the stadium or field that it's at, and they're going to be doing construction around that area, and it may not be finished by the time next year when it comes around, and the MLB doesn't really want to go and have the visual of a construction site in such a serene place. So I think skipping next year, but I think they'll probably return in 2024.
I guess I can understand that, right? Because it's so, I mean, again, based on the 1989 film Field of Dreams, and then Ken Griffey Jr., Ken Griffey Sr. come out of the field itself. And it was just, a tribute to one of the big themes of that movie, Hey Dad, You Want to Have a Catch? And Kevin Costner's dad in that film, or the character portrayed by Kevin Costner, says, I'd like that. And many of us have these, you know, so many people have memories of playing catch with their dad. I know I do. My dad, not from this country, throwing, you know, I would get in a catcher's crouch while he was doing some stuff, and he would throw the ball, and then he would get cocky about it when he finally figured out what he was trying to do. But it's just great memories of that. So that movie touched a nerve with so many people. They did it well, man, with Griffey Sr. and Griffey Jr. coming out.
Yeah, they really did. And then also they did an introduction with Vin Scully, actually did an introduction,
yeah.
Obviously late Vin Scully, which... highlighted some of the stuff from last year's game. So
cool,
it was really great.
Last year was a White Sox Yankees game, was it? Or the White Sox? I can't remember.
Yeah, White Sox Yankees. Yeah. You got it. And then a walk off home run.
Yes.
Which, and then fireworks at the end. They couldn't have asked for anything better to be the first one. So
yeah. By the way, I said came out of the field. I meant out of the cornfield is what I meant.
I got you. It's early.
Goalies. Yeah. Okay. Tennis yesterday. So we hit two dogs, and it couldn't have been more perfect because we were way ahead on the CLV. In the case of on the ladies' side, we hit Xinwen Zhang, who took down Bianca Andreescu, who I think very highly of also. Really great match, but I got it the night before Xinwen Zhang at plus 144. Got her at plus 144. I saw it go as low as plus 114 yesterday on Xinwen Zhang. I don't know where it closed, but she got it done in three hard-fought sets against Bianca Andreescu. And then on the men's side, had Pablo Carreño Busta at plus 185. Saw that get all the way into the plus 150s. He ends up knocking down Jannik Sinner in a straight set. So two nice dog winners for us. And again, I set parameters on those. In the case of Zhang, I said, don't play it below plus 130. In the case of Carreño Busta, don't play it below plus 160. So again, to the extent, I don't know who adheres to that, but those are, again, even when we're losing, right, this year, the hallmark has been, you know, you beat CLV, you got to trust the process on this. And you sort of got to trust the parameters too. Like you're not going to be consistently winning if you just sort of snub your nose at those parameters. So two winners yesterday in tennis, and this gets back to the Paul Carr thing that I wanted to bring up. I just wanted to bookmark that, where Paul Carr loses his first, that he hits two. You know, we had, a year of tennis winnings, last year's hard court season being the highlight of that, where we just destroyed, but a year of solid tennis that we hit four, you know, we hit tennis futures along the way, at Indian Wells, we hit it in Miami. And then in the past years, we've hit, 2019 Bianca Andreescu at the U.S. Open, 2020 Sofia Kenin at the Australian Open, 2020 Iga at the French, 2022 Iga at the French, beyond just the normal tournaments, the slams themselves. So just winner after winner after winner in tennis. And then in June alone with futures, we had four futures hit on this show. The Warriors got there. We had them at plus 550. Pablo Banchero at 9-1. I'm forgetting one. Then there was the 100-1 famously on Ole Miss. What am I forgetting before? Ego was the French Open, was the first one. I mentioned that. So, and then we said on the show, we're like, we're destined for a bad Wimbledon. We're destined for a bad grass season at Hull. And sure enough, that happened. And again, it gets back to the Paul Carr thing as a sort of microcosm of this. And trust me, it doesn't bother Paul Carr. It doesn't bother me. We're fine. We're going to be great. What we're trying to get across, though, is if you're going to be good at this, right, if you're going to be good at this, the extent to which you can overcome emotion and negative variance is going to serve you well. So if you're emotional about a one loss, let alone in Paul Carr's case, or a pocket in time where we lose, because by the way, if you're sitting around and you're waiting for another dude to lose eventually, trust me, you're going to get there. Mazel tov to you. Congratulations. It's going to happen. Hey, this just in. We're going to lose other bets in the future, too. Brian, I don't know if you know that. We're going to lose other bets, right? So you have people who, some in your midst, by the way, right? Who, it's amazing. Chris Andrews said it. Chrissy is a bookmaker, my mishpucha, for 40 years in the state of Nevada. He said he was a handicapper. There was one year in the middle where he wasn't a bookmaker, and he like went to the other side of the desk. And he said to me, he's like, Gilly, 40 years of a bookmaker, we have rivals, we have people that I'm competing against, there are other bookmakers in town. He goes, but really, we're a fraternity. He said, I was on the other side for one year. Hate each other. Right. And I'm like, I don't. But yes, it's a weird sentiment. And so getting back to just your long term success betting, to the extent that you can overcome emotion when you lose, to the extent that you can overcome negative variance, to the extent that you can view this as a long term proposition and actually be honest about who's good long term and who's not, the better off you'll be. It's all we're trying to say. As far as that, we do have a tennis pick today, one tennis pick. I'm on the men's side with Daniel Evans today. Daniel Evans, I got last night at plus 138. I think he wants to be called Dan. I'm not sure he wants to be called Daniel, by the way. Dan Evans, plus 138 against Tommy Paul, I believe it is, on the men's side. Again, men are in Montreal. The women are in Toronto. And you can get Evans still in the plus one. I think he's low plus 130, so it's not that far away from plus 130. I think you can still get him at like plus 130, plus 129 last I looked. We can flash that up on the screen, whatever. But Dan Evans is the play of the day. That's the only play. Everything else kind of lined appropriately, in my opinion, both in Montreal and Toronto. So Dan Evans is the tennis play of the day. We'll put it in the newsletter, yes? For those who missed it here, at VSiN.com.
100%.
/newsletter, as we did yesterday and every day. As far as the U.S. Open is concerned, the U.S. Open doesn't start for a couple weeks, actually a little more than a couple weeks away, August 29th. So late this month. Again, in your sports bucket list, if you've never gone to a night match at the U.S. Open in Queens, it is just spectacular. It's one of the more raucous events that you could ever go to, certainly on the tennis tour. But there's nothing like sitting there late summer night in New York City watching a great tennis match. So on the ladies' side, I have this Iga ticket that I got again from the night that Ash Barty retired, way back earlier in the year, looking for, hey, are there any stray Iga French Open tickets? At that point, I had plus 450s. No, there weren't. All the Iga French Open numbers had gone down, so there was nothing to add there. But I did get Iga at 9-1 to win Wimbledon. That didn't work out. I did get Iga 7-1 to win the U.S. Open. So I do have an Iga Swiatek ticket at 7-1 to win the United States Open. That will probably be the last time we will ever get a favorable ticket on Iga Swiatek. And what a great run it has been for us betting on her famously on this show. Still to be adjudicated in some place, in some cases. I have added a couple, though. I want to just sort of bring this up, and I am looking to add one more, but this is what I have so far. I did add Beatriz Haddad-Maia on the lady side. She actually took down Iga yesterday in Toronto. She's 50-1. At least I got her at 50-1. It was the best number I could get in town. Elsewhere in New Jersey, for instance, or I think beyond New Jersey as well, you can probably get Haddad-Maia for a better number than that. But that's what I got her at. There's someone else I'm waiting to see also on the ladies' side, which I haven't bet yet, which we'll get to maybe next week. On the men's side, because the men is always much more top-heavy, I've been saying, I said it on Primetime Action, which I was on Wednesday night here on the network when asked about the men's side. I talked about it on Canadian radio yesterday when they were kind enough to have me on. Nick Kyrgios, 12-1. It's been the summer of Kyrgios, and the fact that he's still double-digit play, I think you have to make that bet. So Nick Kyrgios, 12-1, I did add on the U.S. Open men's side. If that serve is going, again, potentially, there's no one on earth that should be able to beat him at his best. If he could just get it all together, and he's starting to care. That's all we needed with Nick Kyrgios. We just needed him to care. And this is the summer where he has started to care. Obviously, the big three is the big three. But with some of those guys removed, who knows? Maybe all of those guys removed. You don't know. Nick Kyrgios, 12-1 is the play. So Swiatek, number long gone, Haddad-Maia, and Kyrgios. We'll come back. Todd Wishnev on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today. It won't take you but a few seconds, and then you stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. That won't take you but a few minutes, and then bam, you're placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. It's that simple. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Gil Alexander, ladies and gentlemen, the star of the Beating the Book podcast, Megapod, each and every Thursday during football season. And, of course, somewhere in his mom's cork attic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's Todd Wishnev. How you doing, Toddy?
How you doing, Gilly?
How you doing? Well, look at you. Can you stare at the camera for 1 second? Can you be a professional? Look at that. Let's just start there. I wasn't going to start here, but we got to start there. How much do you weigh right now, man?
230.0.
And you were at the start of this weight loss challenge bet?
Well, the bet was 12 days in from after I started, but April 30th, I was 304.6.
How many days is that where you've lost?
104 days.
70 plus pounds in 104 days.
74.6 pounds in 104 days.
Holy, I'll go with moly.
How much do you weigh, by the way?
Oh, here we go. I knew this was coming.
I was just curious.
221, Todd.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Good to know.
Let me just translate for people. Todd, while I am not involved in this bet, Todd is in a bet with Steve Fezzik, which we'll give the terms of here momentarily. Todd will take great joy in passing me in weight. I have nothing to do with Todd, I don't want to be 180 pounds. I'd love for you to pass me.
Forget about the bet. Being less than you, even that first day, which may happen when I'm in Vegas, yes, at the end of August, I may be less than you that day. Just having that knowledge that I'm there, yeah, and I weigh less than you will feel better than even beating Fezzik in the bet.
It doesn't make you a better person than me, Todd. I have news for you.
Nobody said it did.
I kind of got the sense that's what I was getting.
I'm already a better person. There's nothing it is.
Well, that also is debatable. Listen, so the terms of the bet again, when you started this was in May. Steve Fezzik, two-time Hilton Super Contest champion from back in the day, who is known to many, friends of many here in town. He started 60 pounds roughly below you,
And basically, on April 30th, I was 304.6.
Yeah.
On May 11th, 12 days later, I was 289. So I'd lost about 15 pounds. And we made the bet that day. I was 289. He was 227. So 62. He weighed 62 pounds less than me. The bet was that on any day between May 11th of 2022 and May 11th of 2023, if I weighed less than him at any time, I would win 9,000 and he would win 3,000 if that wasn't the case. Now, the caveat is if we both get to 180 and after that he stays below 185 and I'm, you know, he can go between 180 and 185, right? That as long as he does that and I also get to 180, it's just a push. But what he doesn't understand is that if we both get to 180 and then I'm 184 and he's 186 or I'm 185 and he's 186 anytime between, you know, let's say it happened, let's say I get down there in January. From January through May, he has to stay below that 185 number, otherwise he still loses.
Okay.
Whereas at that point I'm just pushing.
Well, let's be clear. He understands that. What you're saying is he doesn't understand how difficult that would be, right?
Well, he thinks it's going to be easy peasy. He's like, oh, once I get to 185, it's nothing. I can stay at 185 forever. It's simple.
Okay.
That's what he
thinks. And he right now is sub 200, correct? He has cleared the 200 mark.
This morning he told me he ate too much yesterday. He's 201 again.
Okay.
So he's 190. He was 198 yesterday, but he ate too many tacos.
And is there an honor system here? Are you guys monitoring each other's weight by FaceTime? What are you doing?
We can call for any morning. We can call for a FaceTime weigh-in, but I mean, there's no need to do it right now. I mean, right. I don't think he's going to cheat anyway.
I'm not suggesting. There's some people going to be wondering. So 9,000 to you if you win, 3,000 to him if he wins. This actually came up because Steve was texting Crackman yesterday while Crack was on the show, and Crack, because he didn't know the terms, I told him what the terms were. He goes, oh. Bad bet by Todd. Steve already won on making the better wager, but you have a counter to that. Your counter is?
Oh, I agree 100%. I deserve much more than 3-1, probably closer to 7 or 8-1. But, I knew he wasn't going to go for 7 or 8-1, and I wanted to make the bet anyways just because I wanted to be held accountable so that I absolutely needed to do this no matter what, even if I was taking a bad number.
Okay.
So I knew I was taking a bad number. It's not rocket science.
You like to suggest it is rocket science. I wasn't suggesting that it was in this case. All right.
No, but to those who would cast aspersions on me taking a bad number.
Oh, casting dispersions. Good phrase. Yes. All right. So I've gone, by the way, I've gone from I've gone from like 233 to 221. So I'd like you to pass me right at around 212, 213 in a perfect world. I'd love that. So, I'm rooting for you. Pass me, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, your nutrition, we've all discussed many times before.
Okay.
And everybody understands.
That's quite all right. Baseball. You are known to most as an in-game bettor. I feel like you sort of faked me out with this yesterday. I always thought that you only bet in-game on baseball, too. And then yesterday you say to me, no, I have had myself quite the season, but most have been pre-flop. I didn't know this about you. I didn't know that you bet most pre-flop.
Oh, that's the only sport that I'll bet more pre-flop than in-game is baseball. And it's kind of always been that way. But, I mean, there are tremendous opportunities in-game. We talked about the overs on those games that get out of control, by the way, which still is – it's a phenomenon that still is out there. I just had one the other day with the Cardinals, and I didn't even get the position player, but won anyways because you had the junk ball pitchers in there, the bottom of the reliever rotations. But, there's always in-game angles, but I definitely have more pre-game. I've had also a decent success this year targeting first five team totals. Now, not many places have that, but there are some places that have first five team totals. So what that is you're going with the bats against that starting pitcher. And what I've been doing is targeting some really lousy starting pitchers when they're going against really good hitting. As long as you can stay over 2.5, I don't like to go over 3.5, but if you can get to over 2.5, a lot of times it can be great. Yeah, yesterday I had it with the Astros, for example. Astros were over 2.5 minus 140-ish or something. And, they absolutely destroyed the Texas Rangers starter in the first five.
So what is your, how far up are you this year? What's your record this year?
I mean, I don't even know the record because the record's immaterial depending on the, you know, what you're laying in games, but I'm up approximately about 18 units for the season.
Up 18 units for the season. What percentage, mm-hmm. we talk about the team totals for first five. What, give me a sense of what percentage of sports books has that available where you are in Pennsylvania?
Oh, I know DraftKings has it, although, you know, I have problems getting bets down with DraftKings now. But DraftKings has it. Some other places have it, like Offshore, I think, has it. I don't know. I know FanDuel doesn't have it. But there are some that have it.
Is there a preflop bet that you've made already today, or how does this work for you? Do you wait till the afternoon? What usually goes with you?
I mean, I like to look at lineups a lot because I think lineups are something that's a little bit overlooked. You know, sometimes the Yankees are, you know, have the garbage lineup in, and after the fourth or fifth hitter, you've got, you know, garbage, especially when they still had Gallo in there all the time. The Astros even sometimes will put in a bunch of, you know, garbage back of the lineup guys. But now lately, yeah. They have better guys in the back of the lineup. But I do always love to look at the lineups before I do any of this stuff. Like the Dodgers are another team. Yeah. You know, they can have the really good hitters for the first four or five and then sometimes put in, you know, garbage late.
But this is a great point about baseball. Betting. This has kind of been the case forever, right? There are two optimal times to bet a baseball game. One, the night, right, overnights where the line comes out. If your numbers are better than the market, let's say your baseball numbers are better, betting a line overnight is oftentimes going to be the optimal time to do it. And then after the lineups are announced, what is it, about 90 minutes before first pitch, that sort of thing? Roughly,
yeah, somewhere in that ballpark. Yeah,
when you, as Todd is pointing out, when you know, hey, if you know, is Barry Lamar Bonds out of the lineup tonight for the Giants? Right, just using an extreme example. Is you know, and by the way, with that one player out of the lineup, see if you agree with this. One key player out of a lineup is often overrated, but two is often underrated. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I would agree with that statement. I mean, think about, you know, each guy is you know, 11% of your lineup, and some of them are much more because, you know, you're going to get more than 11% of the offense from your big heavy hitters. And now you take two heavy hitters out, you know, you could be talking instead of 22% of your lineup, you know, closer to 30% of your lineup. You know, obviously you're going to have replacements, but if they're garbage.
Yeah. All right. Hang out, Todd. I want to get your thoughts on preseason football. A couple games last night, five more tonight. In the National Football League, the Ravens' streak just rolls on. Pretty amazing. On the other side, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game proudly brought to you by BetMGM. Don't forget about our college football guide, though. The VSiN College Football Guide is out, and the NFL Guide is coming in just a couple weeks. Start your football season on the right foot with expert profiles of every team, including team trends, power ratings, and over-under recommendations. Plus, best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Remember, the only way to get access to this year's football betting guides is to become a VSiN all-access subscriber. Sign up early, and for a discounted $175, you'll receive the college and pro football betting guides along with full VSiN access all the way through the Super Bowl, or join us for $40 a month and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. So the tennis pick, yeah, you could still get Daniel Evans at a good price, still in the plus 130s. I see it moving elsewhere where someone tweeted out a plus 116 on it. Don't play it below plus 115. Minimum, again, setting a parameter on the Daniel Evans play against Tommy Paul, one of the quarterfinal matches again in Montreal, National Bank, men in Montreal, women in Toronto. Todd Wishnev, kind enough to hang with us, star of not only the Beating the Book Megapod each and every Thursday, going into our, what is this, like our 12th or 13th, something like that. We've been podcasting forever. The Megapod into double digits now in seasons. So Todd, the key cog in that. And of course, the Showtime docuseries Action, four-part docuseries from a few years back, Todd, famously featured there. Your friend Deanna, for those who are familiar with that docuseries, she got a big Facebook campaign. Good on her.
She got a big Toyota commercial the other day, too, so she's been moving on up.
Yeah. Huge. Good for her.
Yeah. But that Facebook commercial was pretty huge.
Yeah, Facebook commercial was everywhere. Yeah. So good on Deanna. Yeah. You guys still in contact with each other? Yeah? Still,
I'm actually going to visit her before I come to Vegas. I'm going to go hang out with her a little bit in L.A.
When will you be in Vegas?
Wednesday and Thursday. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of that week of the August 30th, 31st.
Okay.
So, and Steve wants to come on the show.
You and Fezzik in the studio.
8 a.m. On Wednesday or Thursday.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Maybe we could generate some side bets on this way. Maybe people will actually start taking side bets. Can we do that, Brian Ortega? Is that allowed?
I think so. I mean, I think so.
Brian Ortega says it's okay.
I'm all for it.
Okay. So we got that going. Last night, by the way, preseason football, which we used to call exhibition football again, but now we call it preseason. The Ravens won. By the way, the Giants won on the last second field goal. Riveting stuff, by the way. Ravens win again. This is their 21st straight preseason win, and we'll just go through the numbers once again. Jim Harbaugh, 38-15 all time in preseason, 13-1 in week ones of preseason, 21-0 in his last 21, as we just mentioned, the 21 game streak. They've won every single preseason game since 2016. During that span, they've gone 18-2-1 against the number, including last night. Through his tenure, 41-12 on the money line, 37-15-1 against the spread. So just this, again, we don't usually talk trends on this show, but every once in a while, there's one that's so fascinating. And here we have this preseason thing happening with the Ravens where John Harbaugh and crew clearly care. You don't bet preseason. By the way, Pete Carroll also does well in preseason, as we'll put up the numbers we mentioned the other day, 26-16-1 for the Seahawks, Sean McDermott. 10-4-1 against the spread. You do not bet any preseason, correct?
I mean, I dabble a little bit, but I don't follow it enough to do it properly. I mean, obviously you can win at preseason if you know what you're doing and you have the angles, but you have to really know your stuff.
Precisely what I said the other day, because the crack was asking, because why don't you do it? For me, it is just not the best use of my time. Again, and part of it is, again, this sort of self-loathing where if I lose a preseason bet, then I just feel really stupid about it. I was like, oh yeah, I had the information, but it's a 60-minute football game. Anyway, I get it. If it's your thing and you win on it, good for you. I'm all about it. I want everybody to win. But I just don't do it. But one of the reasons that you have told me before about backing off preseason, I think is a more interesting one than sort of allocation of time, which is you don't want it to influence you moving forward. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I think people watch these preseason games sometimes and they get infected into their mind like they saw something that was important. You, of course, you could win at it if you know what you're doing, but it has no reality towards NFL football, pretty much maybe the first half of one of the games. They say like they used to be like the third game they used to really try with the starters and everything. But even then, they're not throwing all their serious defenses and their tricky stuff. They don't want to show anything on film to the other teams. So this not, you know, I remember there were you would always have like these teams, the crappy teams go 4-0 in preseason and people are like, oh, this is the year. They're 4-0 in preseason. Yeah. No. They stink, okay? They didn't win anything but glorified scrimmages, and that's all this is. So, you know, don't, in my opinion, drawing conclusions from, you know, preseason, especially like with the quarterback play. Oh, this backup quarterback, he looked so good. Maybe they'll wheel out Josh Rosen, and they'll be like, oh, Josh Rosen can play. No, Josh Rosen cannot play. He never could play. He stinks. And don't bet on Josh Rosen. I don't care how good he looks in the preseason. I don't care how good anybody looks in the preseason. It is absolute nonsense.
Yeah, and conversely, there are teams that have gone 0-4 in the preseason and won Super Bowls, 82 skins leaping to mind. That happens as well. So yes, as long as you're taking this now 3-week window in the vacuum that it is and just making, you know, information-based bets or whatever we talked about yesterday, all the different tenets of preseason betting, and then can shut off your mind right after that, then go for it. But as Todd's saying, I think that's a big deal. If you're drawing any conclusions from it, oh boy, that is rife with pitfalls for sure. Do you make any season-long NFL bets?
You know, I haven't really done it too much. Again, it's Look, I know that there's guys that went at it and really have good angles and you know all the info. I think you really have to know what you're doing. But also, in the NFL, there's just so much, you know, volatility that we just don't know about, you know, who could get injured, who could, you know, so many things could happen. I just feel like you have so much of a better chance, you know, just waiting till the mid second quarter of games and betting then.
Okay.
You know, I just don't really like it, you know, to do too much pre-sale. Again, I'm not saying you can't win at it. I'm sure you can. If you really know your stuff and you're really getting the good numbers and you're really getting the good information, I just don't have that information, so I'm not going to try to win at it.
Can we talk about the mid-second quarter thing? There's a reason why you said mid-second quarter, and really I'll just sort of even clarify it a little further, maybe even a little beyond mid-second quarter. This is one of the, I think, tried and true, again, for people who are just landing on this show, new to betting, new-ish to betting, haven't heard us discuss this before. One of the great things, you could do this in basketball too, by the way, but in football, it's the cadence of the game might make it more more palatable for some people. Explain sort of late second quarter thinking on bets vis-a-vis the lines that are dished to you.
Well, I mean, look, in game, so much of, you know, what's going to happen, you have to get in front of the algorithms. So if you can figure out something that they can't adjust for fast enough, you know, the easy example of this is in college basketball. You know, it's the first media timeout. Both teams have four or five fouls. The bonus is coming very fast, and they're not adjusting fast enough for it. You can bet that half over because there's going to continue to be fouls, and you're going to get in the bonus really quickly, and there's going to be a million possessions, and the game's going to go over. So that's the kind of thing that you want to jump in front of. And the same thing in football. For example, you know, college football, a lot of times, let's say you have a game that's projected to be 46-18, you know, and you're watching the game, you know, it's like Ohio State against Oregon State or something. You're watching the game. The first three series, Oregon State can't do anything. It's like minus 2 yards, right? If you can still get them team total under 14.5, you have a great situation. You're not getting more than two touchdowns no matter what. And a lot of times, a lot of that stuff is happening in the, you know, beginning to middle of the second quarter is where those numbers are important. Also, like in NFL with drives, who's going to get the ball to start the second half? Who has the ball now with 5 minutes left and is trying to make this the last possession of the second quarter? So there's all kinds of little angles that you want to look for, you know, in game that, you know, can get you out ahead of the algorithm. Because remember, they have to stick to that pregame number pretty closely.
You don't want to explain the late second quarter thing? Is that what I'm getting out of that? You don't want to.
Well, I don't want to get too graphic
okay.
with, you know, too many closely held angles, or else, you know, okay. The professionals who listen to the show will call me up and say, shut up, blabbermouth.
They will use the word blabbermouth, in fact. Yes. No,
yes,
I understand.
They've
I understand.
Called you blabbermouth, too, many times.
That's exactly right. It's a good point. Okay, Todd, we look forward to talking to you on the Megapod each and every Thursday. We'd love to have you back, but I understand why you remain in Pennsylvania, because the betting is just better than it is in Nevada, right? The outs are just better. The opportunities are better.
I just wish it wasn't true, but it's true.
It's true.
You know, I mean, if you can get the bet down, that becomes right. The other problem. Because well, if you win, then yeah. They don't want your bets.
Well, we had a situation the other morning where we led the show. Sam Hartman of Wake Forest got hurt. We come on at 7, you know, a.m. Pacific. Here, you can't make any bets that will help you with that information. We hope Sam Hartman's okay, by the way, they should point out. But it's 10 a.m. on the East Coast, right? So we led the show by saying, like, I wish we could do something about this, you know, in Vegas. And there's that as well. So anyway, Todd, we appreciate it.
Dark ages. You're in the dark ages with your nutrition and where you make bets, no doubt.
I knew that was coming with my nutrition. Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it. Paul Carr.
Good to see you, Gilly.
You too. Paul Carr's Premier League Picks next.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The first inning is unpredictable, but you can place a no-run first inning wager with confidence at BetMGM. Make a no-run first inning prop bet on any Friday MLB game. If only one run is scored in the first, you'll get your stake back and free bets up to $20. That's right. Simply place a single or parlay. No-run first inning bet. Nerfy, I'm told. No runs in the first, no problem. You win. If only one run is scored, get your wager back and free bets up to $20. Take big swings all season long with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. Opt-in required, though. All promotion subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback from all. This is from J-Rod. Hello, Gil. I'll be requesting a weekly State of the Yinzer segment from Wishnev as he observes how they react to Trubisky week after week. Good day. Like the good day at the end. Who was that? Paul Harvey, was that Brian Ortega? Good day. You familiar with that? Old school radio guy?
Nope.
He was old.
I've been aged out.
He was old when I was a kid. I think he died some time ago, though. Let's see here. Mike Goosh, a cursed Lions fan here, to back up what Todd was saying about the preseason in 2008. The 0-16 Lions went 4-0 in the preseason. Yeah, we were drinking the Kool-Aid that year. Kool-Aid, Jim Jones reference, by the way, for those scoring at home. Let's see. David Shelford, Todd looking good. We'll continue to pray for Gil and his medieval diet. What's wrong with my diet, man? Oh, God. And this is reacting to the first segment of the show from Steven Vegas. He goes, in my experience, the people who are so angry at losing picks they get for free are typically overbetting or exhibiting poor bankroll management. If you're betting 1% to 2% of your bankroll per bet, there really shouldn't be much more of an eye roll when you lose. Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. Phil Weiss had something to it. He goes, Gil, don't you get it by now? Nobody cares about yesterday. It only matters what you could do for me today. Just keep your picks coming, baby. No, I mean, I hope everybody took that first segment in the proper, in the spirit that it was intended. Hey, neither Paul Carr nor I, you're not affecting our lives. We're just doing what we do, numbers based. And if you look at the long term results, they speak for themselves. And anyone in betting, again, to the extent that you're able to overcome the emotion of short term negative variance, the better off you'll be. Paul Carr, ladies and gentlemen, with his Premier League picks, but he wanted to say something about that. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. We got a Paul Harvey reference, a Jim Jones reference in the segment already. We are hip and happening.
Man, if you're looking for that 88-year-old demographic, I'm your man.
To your point about emotion, look, I get emotional watching games just like anybody else. I'll throw things or yell at the TV or something if things don't go my way, or whether it's betting involved or the Dolphins blowing another game or something like that. But just from a betting standpoint, what I try to do is to go back and look at, all right, what were my numbers behind this play?
Yes.
What were the numbers behind the game also, especially in soccer? Because, Crystal Palace Arsenal last Friday is a great example. Arsenal won that 2-0, but the underlying numbers were basically the same. They both had about one expected goal. Palace had their couple of pretty good chances. They just didn't finish. If they finish one of those, Arsenal doesn't get the late counterattack goal probably, and it ends 1-1. So try to look at the underlying numbers, and whether it's backs up my play or is against my play.
Yeah,
I try to look at it analytically. It kind of goes back. I used to play a lot of online poker, and it was the same sort of thing where you track all your hands, and you go back and look at your decisions, and if you're consistently getting your money in at whatever 60-40, but you've lost 50% of those hands, you're probably in good shape. If the numbers are kind of flipped and you're running hot or you're getting in bad spots, then you probably need to change something regardless of what your results are looking like.
So this is such a great point, right? So in baseball, if the team you're betting on goes, well, I'll use an extreme example. They go 1-for-21 with runners in scoring position and you lose.
Exactly.
Hey, that's baseball. In tennis, if you're 3-for-16 on break points and you lose on that player, and this is the hardest thing to get across to people. You can't feel bad about your bet because your bet was set up to win. You just, on the high variance moments, didn't get it done. Yep. And the thing about that is, and here's the other caveat to that in sports betting, because there's so many emotions involved. The reason that I don't come out and say that after every bet, right? Because it happens a lot. By the way, some go your way as well, it should be pointed out, right? And you have to be honest about that too. But the reason I don't come out and say that after bets that lose like that is because the person who want, the person who's, they just went, oh, it's an excuse. No, it's not an excuse. We're just trying to be analytical about it, right? So it's such a tough thread to, you know, to navigate. I'm mixing metaphors because it's just it's so tough to get the rational person to sort of understand where you're coming with that. Because a lot of people just, they're going to hear what they want to hear, and they're just like, ah, you're making excuses. So I don't get into it on a daily basis. But yes, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's hard. And try to look at it both ways. You know, I had a run for a couple weeks last year where I hit like three or four 90th minute goals.
Yeah. Oh, I remember.
Won me bets.
Yes.
I mean, and a couple of those I should not have won. A couple of those I really should have won, and it shouldn't have been that dramatic.
Yeah.
So it's, even when you're winning, I try to go back and look and say, okay, this probably wasn't a good idea, or this was good. And it, you know, it was dramatic, but it was still the right play. And it's tough to do that when you're emotional at both ends of everything, but it's what I try to do.
Okay. Let's get, again, 2-1 last week to start the season. You have three picks. We'll get to those three picks, and I want to ask you about a fourth one where you don't have a play, but it's the big game of the weekend. Let's start with all three on Saturday, I believe, this week.
Yeah, all worked out that way. I'm taking Aston Villa to beat Everton on Saturday. Here's kind of an example of what we're talking about. So Villa lost 2-0 at Bournemouth on the weekend, and Bournemouth is newly promoted and one of the favorites to be sent down. But Villa really controlled most of that game. They just didn't quite have... They didn't quite create the shots, so everything but the shots, really, which is obviously is important. But Villa looked pretty decent. Everton lost 1-0 to Chelsea. That game could have been worse, and Everton looked like they may be relegation threatened again this year. So I like Villa to win this at -120. Everton also lost a couple defenders versus injury. And then just from a narrative standpoint, it's Steven Gerrard, who's managing Aston Villa, against Frank Lampard, who's managing Everton. These are two guys who are on England's national team together and can never quite coexist on the field for a long time. So we got fun off-the-field stories, too.
Aston Villa, -120 over Everton, play number one. Okay. And then Arsenal and Leicester, again, not all of these are sides, not all of these are totals. How did you play this?
Yeah, so this one, we're going back to the well that made us quite a bit of money last year.
Yeah.
Both teams to score in Leicester away games. It's kind of niche, but 23 of Leicester's last 26 away games have had both teams score. Leicester's first game was 2-2 against Brentford. There weren't quite that many chances as the 2-2 game might indicate, but it was still open enough. Leicester has James Maddison, their main play banker. Jamie Vardy up top is healthy. And Arsenal, we talked about them against Palace. They look decent on offense, but they really don't have the lock it down back line and defensive structure and strategy that like a Man City has, which is what Arsenal's trying to replicate. So I like both teams to score here, -120.
All right. And you do have one total this week. What do you got?
One total. We're going over 2.5 in Southampton Leeds. I mentioned this last week a little bit, but if you're just a neutral or average soccer fan, you want to jump on a bandwagon, Leeds might be it because they have an American coach, two U.S. players who may start at the World Cup, and they're just entertaining. They press. Their games are wide open, like last week's was. Southampton's, again, I picked them to be relegated, and I've saw nothing to go against that in the opening week. They got smoked by Tottenham 4-1. I like over 2.5 goals, two coaches who like to press and open up the game. I think we'll just see a little bit of craziness here over 2.5.
Okay. Paul's triple pack of picks here. Aston Villa -120 over Everton. Always shop around for these numbers. Arsenal and Leicester, both teams to score a goal. BTTS.
Yeah.
Isn't that a K-pop band? Oh, it's BTS. I'm sorry. My bad.
Yeah, close enough.
-120. See, I'm pulling the demographic down there, Paul. See what
I
did?
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Southampton versus Leeds over 2.5 goals, -135. Again, check on those numbers. -120 on the Arsenal-Leicester, both teams to score a goal. Okay, there is another game this week. You don't have a play on it, but it occurs to us that some people might want to hear your thoughts. Again, it's only one game so far out of 38, but both of these teams won their first, so it's a game between two teams on top of the Premier League standings.
Yeah, Chelsea-Tottenham.
Yeah, what do you got?
It's our first big six matchup of the season. I don't have an official play, at least yet. Chelsea shut out Tottenham three meetings last year. It kind of remains to be seen what Chelsea will be. Like I said, they smoked Everton, but Everton's not very good. I will say Chelsea's back line looked pretty solid. They brought in a guy named Koulibaly who replaced Rudiger, who went to Real Madrid. And their defense looked all right. So I don't know if this is a return to the Chelsea shutdown defense. I would kind of lean under in this matchup. I kind of like the price on Chelsea at like +120, +125. But if I had to play something, I would go the under, but no official play for me here.
All right, Paul. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on every Friday, giving us our picks. We, of course, and thanks for all your season-long picks that you gave out last week.
Yeah.
I hope people seem to enjoy that as well. Enjoy your weekend, sir.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Paul Carr, everybody, from the Expected Value Podcast, Probably should have said that at the top. At Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, also works for New Media Networks. Vinny Maliulo, Vinny Maliulo, also known as Vinny Maiolio, the Hall of Famer, joins us next hour, as does Jason Weingarten. Jason Weingarten has his baseball picks of the day and beyond. That's after the break from Under Cloud of Smoke in Southern Cali. And Brian Ortega, who's in for Jeff Parlay, man about town, entertainment guru. He's seen a couple of movies. He's got thoughts. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.